have so many kids in church. Amen. Amen. Such a blessing. Just grateful that we have that opportunity to get to speak the word of God to them. Show them what it means to worship God and set the right standard. If you've got Bibles and you want to turn them, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 9 this morning. The message that I have is not what I intended to preach till this morning. I've actually been working on two other sermons that I felt like the Lord was giving me over the course of the last couple of weeks, one on marriage and the other on the tongue. I thought one of those would be for today, and I kind of had that prepared in my heart, but this morning my thoughts were pulled in a different direction, and so I need your prayers, long story short. I want to be able to relate to you what it is that God's given me. I want to be able to show you what it is that God has put on my heart, and I hope I can do it in a way that makes sense. So would you pray with me this morning? Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to stand. God, just for a few minutes to be able to speak your word, God, and we know, Lord, that you're putting this treasure in an earthen vessel, God, and a flawed person, God. I'm not where I should be, God, not what I want to be, Lord, not who I need to be all the time, Father. But God, if you would, just for a few minutes, God, use me and allow me to speak your word again, God, to your people, Lord, that our hearts may be encouraged, God, that our minds may be renewed, Lord, that our spirits may be able to rejoice in the word of truth, God, that we might hear, God, and see what it is you want us to hear and see, God, that we might be reminded, that we might hear from heaven, God, not from Bill. God, move me out of the way, that I might be able to just be able to speak your words, your heart, God, this morning. I pray, Lord, I know, God, it's nothing within me, God. I have no wisdom, God, to impart, Lord, other than your word that you've given us, God. So help me to be able to speak to that, God, and to not go by opinions or man's thoughts, God, but to go strictly by what your word says, Lord. And we just thank you, God, for the word. Thank you for our church family, God. Thank you for the prayers of your people, God, that go up, Lord. And we pray, God, that we just will be honoring and pleasing to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's read Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Don't let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
Amen.
There's a quote from a man I like to read a lot of his books, and his name was A.W. Tozer. And that quote stood out in my mind this morning. And his quote was, whatever comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. In other words, who we think God is and who we understand God to be is the most important truth in our lives. And in Jeremiah 9, what we just read, the Lord said, don't let a man glory in riches. We see a world that glories in riches today. Amen?
Yeah.
Don't let a man glory in his wisdom and how smart he can become. And we see people glorying in their education and how much knowledge they have and what an expert they are in their field. Don't let a man glory in his might, how strong and how powerful he is. We see a world full of people that do that every day. But instead, the Lord said, if a man's going to glory, in other words, if a man's going to be proud of something, let him be proud, let him glory in this one thing, that he understands and knows me.
Amen.
That I am the Lord, which exercises this truth about God that you can see in this scripture, that exercises loving kindness and judgment. Do you know that he can do both? Amen?
Yeah.
He can be both loving and kind and gracious and still exercise judgment. He has the ability to do both.
Yes, he does.
And righteousness in the earth. The most important thing about you this morning is not how rich you are, or how strong you are, or how healthy you are, or how beautiful you look. The most important thing about you this morning is what you think about God. What do you think about God? And here's the reality this morning. A lot of people, many people have created their own God. They've taken parts of the God as He's revealed Himself in the Scriptures. They've taken the parts of that God that they like, the characteristics that they like about Him. They've taken those and then they've removed all the parts of God that they don't like.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says God is love. And they take that part. They love that. They want a God of love. And so they keep that in their knowledge and they cling to that Scripture. But then when they read and they hear things that says that there's certain things that God hates, certain things that God doesn't like, they cast those away from their knowledge. They remove that part.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You see, they want God to be exclusive. They want Him to say, yeah, God is love, so God is love, so He can't hate. But God, just because we can love doesn't mean we also can't hate.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
God is able to do both. They keep the part of God that says that He's forgiving and that He's full of grace and mercy. They keep that part and they hold that part, but they cast away the part that says, keep My commandments if you love Me.
Yes.
They keep the parts of God that says, I'll bless you, I'll prosper you, I'll heal you, I'll heal your sicknesses. And they keep those parts, but they turn away from the truth of the parts where He says, if you want to reign with Me, you must also suffer with Me.
Amen.
They keep the part of eternal life. They hold to that, but they reject the part where He says, you have to crucify yourselves to the world and pick up your cross daily and follow Him.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. When we do that, guys, when we pick the parts of God that we like and try to get away from the parts of God that we don't always like and that seems harder, when we do that, it's no different than me taking a block of wood outside and carving myself an idol to worship.
Yeah.
I've created a different God.
Amen.
I can call Him by the same name, but He's still different than who He says He is.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Does that make sense this morning?
Yeah.
I pray it does. I want it to. I desperately want it to. I desperately want us to see how much we desire the good parts of God and how much sometimes we try to shy away from the parts of God that we don't like. See, the truth is, even today, there is a lost truth and people don't want to hear it, but the reality is there is a God who is loving and willing to save and willing to reach down into the miry clay and pull us out of that clay and save our wicked souls.
Amen.
There is a God, there's a part of God that's willing to do that.
Amen.
But that same God, the very same God, is also willing for those that reject His Son to send them to hell.
Amen.
There's a truth in that you need to know and hear and understand and believe this morning. He can be both gracious and merciful and kind and loving, but He can also be the very one, the cause of who He is, because He's not like us, because He's righteous and holy. He can make a righteous judgment. And the judgment He's declared is that anyone who doesn't believe in the name of the Son of God, anyone that doesn't put their faith in Jesus Christ will perish.
Amen.
Here's the point. I need to get to that. There's a real sense of urgency in my heart this morning that we need to hear, that we need to come to know God fully.
Amen.
Yes.
We need to know God. You say, Bill, I know God. I am a Christian. I am a church member. I know who God is. I know God, and I thank God that you profess to be a Christian. I thank God that you're a church member. But I want you to know God more deeply than what you know Him today. I want you to know Him more fully, more completely, more earnestly. I want you to know who God really is. I want you to know Him personally. I want you to have a real, genuine relationship with God. Something real. I want your heart to desire God. Not to desire just His favor on your life, but to desire Him for who He is. I think about David in the Psalms. Psalms 42, verses 1 and 2. And I think about what his heart's desire was. And he said, "As the deer or the hart panteth after the water brooks, right? So my soul pants after Thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" And that's what I'm talking about this morning. That's the desire that you can hear the cry of David's heart is to know God, right? He's got a hunger and a thirst for God, for his blessings, for His presence, but more importantly, just for Him, all of Him. It's not that he didn't know who God was. It's not that he's out there saying, "There's a God revealing Himself to me." He knew full well who God was. He had experienced God. He had felt God's presence. But he wanted more of that.
Yes.
More.
Mm-hmm.
Do we thirst for God that way? Do we desire to know God in a personal way? To have a deep relationship with God? Is God what we want more than anything else in the world? I think what the heart wants will always be revealed. The Bible says the things that are done in the darkness will be exposed in light. That all the secrets one day will be shouted from the rooftop. And I believe that the priorities that people have really begin to reflect what our hearts really want. Amen?
Amen.
We don't always like this kind of preaching. I get it. But when we get a little extra time in our busy lives, what do we do with it? How do we spend it? Is the first thought of, "I've got some time, right? I'm home from work and dinner's cooked and everybody's fed and the kids are happy and everything's going okay." Is our first thought then, "Now I can sit down for a moment and I can spend a few minutes in the Word of God. I can spend a few minutes in prayer. I can get to know God a little more deeply. I can pick up this book about God, whether it's the Bible or we live in the most amazing age where you can log online and read thousands of books about who God is, written by people who love God, genuinely love God. Do we grab those books? Do we grab our Bibles? Do we get down on our knees? Or do we grab our remotes when we have a few minutes? Do we make sure we get another episode of our favorite show in? I'm ashamed to admit it. But for me lately, I've probably spent more time watching TV than I have in the Word of God. Now, you may not be that way. I pray you're not. But I'm telling you my struggle for a minute. I'm telling you where I'm at. Amen? I know who I am. And I'm ashamed of it, but I'm not ashamed to confess it. I'm not ashamed to stand out here before you and say, my priorities sometimes get mixed up.
Amen.
Sometimes I get things out of kilter, right? And when I've got a few minutes, the first thought that comes to my mind hasn't been the way it should be, right? That's what God was speaking into my heart this morning, is me asking myself, why isn't it that when I have a few minutes that I don't think I want to know God more? When we get a few minutes alone at home, do we desire that quiet time of prayer with God, that time that we get alone for a few minutes, and all I ever hear from everybody, all I ever say to anybody is how busy I am, how busy they are, how busy, how fast-paced it is. But when we do get those few minutes alone, are we occupying ourselves with the things of God, or do we, first thing we do is grab a phone and see if we can call or turn on a YouTube video or check our Facebook statuses or turn the radio on and do all these other things? When we're around our friends, do our conversations naturally drift into the things of God? Do we find ourselves talking about Him, or do we find ourselves talking about everything in the world? Do we find that we make more time for our ministry or for our hobbies? I get it. It's not your favorite message this morning, I understand. But our priorities reveal what our heart's desires really are.
Yep.
They show it. They show it. And those things that we can see far surpass the things that we say.
Yep.
Those actions far surpass our words. Mm-hmm. I can say all day long that God is my first priority.
Yeah.
But when He's never the first priority, our actions are telling a different story.
Amen.
Than what our words are. Paul prayed a beautiful prayer. And he shared it with the Ephesians in the letter that he wrote them. And I want to read you a few verses there this morning in Ephesians chapter 1. It's verses 16 through 23. And what he was saying is, he said, ever since he's come to hear about their faith in the Lord, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is what he prayed, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him.
Yeah.
That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead.
Yes.
And set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places.
Amen.
Far above all principalities, far above all power, above all might and all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. And He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all.
Amen.
And I pray that you can see Paul's heart this morning. Paul wanted them to know the goodness of what it means to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He wanted them to experience God, God's goodness, God's power, God's truth, God's wisdom. He wanted them to feel God's presence in their lives. He wanted more for them than show up on Sunday and give an offering. He wanted them to know God. That's what I want for us. I want it so badly. Later on in Ephesians, he said he prayed for them that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. I want that for us.
Amen.
I want us to want God more than we want anything else.
Amen.
I know in my heart this morning that's the true path of joy and peace, is that we would desire God more than we would desire anything else, that we would really give our lives to the Lord, that we would really surrender ourselves, our hearts, our desires, our priorities, our time to God.
Amen.
Isn't that what the Scripture says we should want? Is that not what it says?
Yeah.
Is it not what God declares when He says that we should love Him with all of our hearts?
Yeah.
What is the first and greatest commandment, teacher, that we Love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Amen.
How can we tell Him that we love Him if we don't even try to know Him?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How can you say that you love Him and you don't want to spend any time with Him?
Amen.
Would you say that to your spouse? Would you say that to your children? I love you, but I don't have time for you. I don't want to deal with you. How can we say that we love Him when so low on our priority is? I see when people who profess to be Christians, they get together and someone starts to talk about Christ and the other people start to get quiet. They have nothing to say because they don't even think about it.
Amen.
Yeah. We'll spend countless hours watching our shows or watching videos or reading articles or learning how to fix this, build that, organize this, do that, look a certain way, how to catch the biggest fish, how to kill the biggest deer, how to do all these different things. We've got all these things we want to learn and do and know, and we just are out there, and we live in the information age, when age is right there at our fingertips. I mean, when information is right at our fingertips, and we have everything we want, but we can't spend 1 hour in the Word of God.
Amen.
We can't pray for 15, 20 minutes. And so when the conversation about God comes up, most people don't have much to add because they don't know much about it.
Yeah.
And that makes me worry as a pastor, but more importantly as a friend, amen? Because I can hear that scripture ringing in my ears. Right? Lord, we did this in Your name. We did that in Your name. We did all these things. Didn't you see all the things that we did for You? Didn't you see it, God? Didn't you see how I did this and how I did that time? Didn't you catch that along the way, Father? Didn't you see it? Depart from me. I never knew You. In other words, there was never a real relationship between me and You.
Amen.
I never really knew You.
Uh-huh.
You served a God You created in Your mind, but not me. You never really sought to know me. You neglected my words. You neglected time with me. You neglected and ignored my commandments. You chose the world. And now that the world is gone, You want me.
Yep.
Now that the world is gone, now that You're standing here and death, as God has promised us, that death will find us. Amen? It is once appointed unto man to die. Every single one of us is going to die.
Yeah.
Everyone, no exceptions to the rule, everyone will taste of death. And then we stand before God and we go with a big smile on our face and we think He's just going to say, enter in. And I don't know how many people are expecting to hear that are going to hear, I never knew Him. I didn't know Him. You were way too busy for me. Did you see God? Did you see all the times I went to church? Yeah, I saw it. And then I saw you go home and talk about everybody. And I saw how you never picked up your Bible the rest of the week and you never studied and you never prayed. I saw it. I saw that you never communed with me. What was it about Abraham that stood out? He communed with God like a man does to his friend. What was it about Moses? When Moses was on Mount Sinai there and God was promising all of them, he said, you can have, I've got a land prepared for you, a land that's flowing with milk and honey, a beautiful place. And he said, I want you to go. And Moses said, I don't even want that if you won't go with me.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, if God said that to us, we'd say, get me to the land.
Yeah.
I want the milk and honey.
Yeah.
I want the ease. I want the riches. I want the blessings, God, pour them out. Moses had something different in mind. Moses said, I want your presence. If that means I got to have it in the desert place, in the dry place, I better stay in the dry place with you, God, than to go into the land of milk and honey without you. But that's not the way most of people feel today. I'm worried that we're so distracted. And when I say we're, I mean me. We're so distracted that we can't even see where we're going. We can't see that our feet are slipping. Remember 2 weeks ago when I told you that God had put on my mind about slippery slopes and about, we read in Psalm 73, I believe it was, when he said, as for me, my foot had almost slipped. I had well nigh slipped. This is the slippery slope of living in the world and trying to be a Christian. I do not want to hear God say, I never knew you. I do not want Him to say that all this was in vain because I didn't have a real personal relationship with Him. My relationship with God cannot be based on my relations, my works. I'll never work enough to be pleasing to God. My relationship with God is not about how well I treat my children or my wife. I'll never treat them good enough to be pleasing to God. My relationship with God is not about how much money I gave in the offering or how many orphans I took in or how many widows I helped or how many people I fed along the way. My relationship with God is about how much I love and worship His Son, Jesus Christ. How well I knew Him. Why do you think Paul, towards the end of his life, Paul, being so close to God, suffering for God, I mean, gave his whole life, but at the end he said, I just want one thing, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amen. What I'm asking you this morning, church, is what if we made up our minds and changed it? What if we flipped it all on its head? What if we stop trying to impress God with a few little works that will never be enough and started trying to know Him? Yes. To really know Him.
Yes.
To really know Him. What if we committed ourselves and said, I'm going to stop making excuses about how busy I am and why I can't, and I'm going to read my Bible every single day.
Amen.
That I may know Him.
Amen.
That I can know Him. What if we committed ourselves to prayer and we said, God, I'm going to pray every day because I want that time with you. I want to know you. I know prayer is when we can talk to each other. What if we went completely radical extreme? And we went back to our houses today and we said, And we started looking around our houses and we found or built or created or done whatever we had to do to find a place in our house that we dedicated to the Lord, a dedicated place in our home to God, a place where you and God meet every single day.
Yeah.
What if we started to pursue Him? Really pursue Him. I'm talking about really digging in. What if we started reading books about God? What if we started craving the Word of God and the teachings of God and the doctrines of God? What if we began to listen to sermons about God? What if we started talking to our spouses and our families every day about what we read in the Bible that day? What if God became the center of our lives?
Amen.
Really. Not just the few hours that He's the center of our Sunday mornings. What if He became the center of every day?
Amen.
What if we said, I want God in my heart, in my home, in my life. I want God in every aspect. What if husbands and wives and moms and dads and kids came home and they shared with each other the things that God was doing in their lives? What if we started calling our friends, and instead of talking about all the stupid stuff of the world that don't really matter at all, what if we started calling them and talking to them about what the Lord was revealing, and what we started praying with them for a few minutes on the phone, and we started really digging into God together? What if we spent time teaching our kids about God?
Amen.
Instead of telling them to go to their room and watch TV?
Yes. Yes.
You say, preacher, that sounds so boring. Right? Go home and sit down and read the Bible together. Talk about God. If that's boring, you need to evaluate whether or not you're a Christian this morning.
Amen.
Right? I mean, if God bores you that much, are you really in love with Him? And if you're not in love with Him, you're not saved.
Amen.
That's just the reality this morning. There was a story that Shasta was reading to me yesterday. I was going to share it with you real quick. Just take a second. It's not a long one. This lady said, exactly 2 years ago today, I received the worst phone call a mother could receive. My son was in a horrible car accident. As I stood over his bed in the ER, the doctor told me that my son was brain-dead. He had multiple fractures, bleeds, and swelling to his brain. He's not responding to anything. In my mind, I immediately began the horrific process of planning his funeral. Everyone around me was moving in slow motion. Nothing would ever be okay again. The worst part of it all was in that moment, as I looked at his body laying on the bed and blood was draining from his ears, I realized I failed as a parent because I did not know what his relationship was with Jesus or what his salvation would be. Would I ever see him again? Was he even saved? Was this it? Would he get to go to heaven? I had no idea. You see, I had let everything else in life be more important than eternity. How could I have been so foolish? When the Bible says I am responsible to lead my child to the Lord, and yet I may work, school, sports, entertainment, more important than the one thing that matters the most, eternity.
Amen.
I thought we had so much time, but time was gone and my opportunity to make it right was over.
Yeah.
She goes on to say she began to pray and she made a deal with God that if He let her son live, that she would make it right, that she would set out to know the salvation of her children and to help other people that to understand that they aren't guaranteed tomorrow. And that one day they could be standing over their child's body wondering if they would get to see them again in heaven. She said, see, I was wrong. I did so many things that everyone does, and I thought it was enough. But teaching my child to be kind was not enough. Teaching my child to give was not enough. There was only one way to heaven, and that is to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says so. And do you know how I know the Bible is still true and relevant today? That she has a picture of her son. Doctors did everything they could to save his life, but he didn't wake up. Every day she sat by his bed, would read scriptures and pray. One day, an elder from a local church came by and said, can I pray with you? He grabbed some oil out of his pocket, put a little dab behind his ear. He said a prayer. God, I know you can heal his whole body as easy as you can heal one toe. The gentleman gave me a hug and left the room. And when I looked back, he opened his eyes and began to watch me walk back to him.
Oh, my goodness.
She said, was it a coincidence? Certainly not. He's still in a wheelchair, but we're believing that God will finish his work that he's begun. But the most incredible testimony is he says this. He says, although he has some difficulties, he's happier than he's ever been. He says, before his accident, he was sad, depressed, and alone. But now he realizes that when you have Jesus, you have everything.
Amen.
Let me ask you. Do you know where you are with God? Are you being the parent to your child that leads them to Christ? Are you being the grandparent that leads people to Christ? Are you being the church member that helps lead a visitor to Christ? Are you being the spouse that leads your unbelieving spouse to Christ? Are you being the co-worker that helps lead other people at your workplace to the Lord? Are you the one who is at home? You say, Bill, how do I do that? You know, I don't know how to witness to people. You won't have to ask that question once you have a personal relationship with Christ.
Amen.
Because when you know Him and you know Him personally, His love will flow out of you
Yes. And
into others.
Amen.
When you know who He is and you are pursuing God the way that He should be pursued. Are you where you need to be with God? Would you be able to say right now with a clean heart, a clean conscience, Bill, I am in hot pursuit of God. I want to know Him more than I want anything else. More than I want healing for my loved ones. More than I want the church to grow. More than I want anything, I want to know God personally.
Amen.
I want to know Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to talk with Him. I want to spend time with Him. I want to know who He is and what He's about, because I love Him more than I love anything else.
Amen.
And if that's not your heart this morning, you're not right with God.
Amen.
It's not a popular message, but it's still the truth.
Amen.
I want you to leave this church confident that you're not going to hear those words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. God is not a man that He should lie. If He knew you, He wouldn't say, I never knew you. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to have a real personal relationship with God. How do I get it? You know, what do I got to do to get it? You know, I'll sit in sackcloth and ashes. I'll pray 30 minutes a day. I'll read an hour a day. I'll listen. You want to pray 30 minutes a day? You want to read an hour a day? Wonderful. That will help you to know God, and you're going to grow in God and be able to lead other people into the presence of God and to help them to start to know God. But there's only one way to be right with God. That's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No other way. You put Jesus as your top priority. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord and you're lost, the very first thing that you must do is you must acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner.
Amen.
You've got to see that clearly, and you've got to recognize today that your sins have separated you from God.
Uh-huh.
And that if death finds you in that condition, you're destined for hell.
Uh-huh.
But if you can believe in God's provision for sin, God has atoned for man's sin. How did He do it? He sent His only Son to die on the cross
Yes. For
sinners.
Amen.
Like me.
Yeah.
Like you.
Yeah.
Like everybody.
Yeah.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Uh-huh. For there is none that's righteous. No, not one.
Yeah.
All we like sheep have gone astray. Every man after his own way. Uh-huh. But the Lord beckons and says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash them and make them white as snow. I can make you right with me. I can make you right with God. Christ is the way that you can be right with our holy God. But you've got to come to Him and believe upon Him. And if you won't believe upon Him, you will not be saved. But to those who will believe upon His name, to them He granted the right to be called the children of God. To as many that would believe upon His name. Trusting in Him, you acknowledge that you're a sinner. You believe in the Son of God. You believe in the sacrifice that He made. You believe in His death, His burial, His resurrection. You confess your sins to God. You repent. And thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Then, when you get there, actually then, as your life goes on, your life will bear fruit. There'll be evidence that that confession, that that belief is real.
Amen.
That evidence, that confession, all those things, it'll sum up into this fruit in your life. You're going, and listen, the main fruit that you should bear more than any other fruit is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart. And today, if that fruit is not in you, get right with God before it's too late. Get it right. If you're here and you say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I've got it right, make sure it's right. Concrete it in. Make God your first priority.
Yes.
Put Him before everything else in life. Put Him before mother and father. Put Him before wife and husband. Put Him before children. Put Him before work. Put Him before everything.
Amen.
Put Him first in every aspect of your life. Pick up your cross today. Go out of this church carrying your cross and following the Lord, trusting in Him, believing in Him, seeking Him, and wanting Him more than you want anything else.
Amen.
Those that seek me with their whole heart, God said they will find me. What makes us different than Moses? It's not that Moses was better. It's not that God was different. God hasn't changed. Moses was a sinner. It's that Moses knew something different. Moses saw something different. Moses did something different. What was it? He wanted God more than anything else. He chose to suffer affliction with God's people and would rather have done that than to have all the gold and treasures of Egypt. He chose the Lord above everything else. And if you want God and you want the real thing and you want to hear His voice and feel His presence and feel His direction, church, I'm preaching to you. If you want that today, you can have it, but you've got to want it more than you want anything else.
Amen.
And if you don't, you won't have it. It's up to us. Say, man, don't leave not sure of where you stand with God today.
Amen.
Don't leave lost. Don't leave a lukewarm Christian.
Yes.
Don't leave with your priorities all mixed up.
Yes.
When you can confess, you can repent, and you can walk out of here and you can go home and you can say, get behind me, Satan. Look at that TV, that remote, that all these distractions, and say, get behind me. God is going to come first in my home.
Amen.
God's going to come first in my family.
Yes.
God's going to come first every aspect of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Be like Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Make a commitment. Dig in and resolve to know God. As a family, I wonder if as I preach this morning, if anything troubles your heart. If so, as we stand, you should begin to get to the altar. Let's stand. Altar's open, every eye closed, every head bowed. Those that are wanting to make their way to the altar should be making their way to the altar. Are you willing to confess to God this morning? Are you willing to make a commitment to God today? God, I'm going to pursue you. God, I'm going to seek you. God, I want you. I want to know you. I'm going to set aside the time that I need to set aside. I'm going to make time together with you every day. I'm going to fellowship with you. I'm going to make knowing you the first priority of my life. Are you here today and you need that? You need to pray that prayer and then you get to the altar. Are you here today and lost? Never having put your sins under the blood of Jesus Christ? No peace right now between you and God? No connection between you and God? Is that you this morning? Lost and undone and in sin? Come out from where you are and kneel down at an altar and say, God, it's me, I'm a sinner, save me. You don't have to say it to me, you don't have to say it to this church. You're not joining the church, you're not doing anything other than talking to God. Are you lost this morning and in need of that? Then come. Nothing is more important today than where you are with God. Nothing is more important today than your relationship with God. You may find yourself standing over someone's hospital bed this week, but you also may find yourself being the one in the bed this week. You may find yourself this week taking your last breath, digging deep and gasping, only to close your eyes, and the next thing you see is the judgment of God. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready to stand before God? What were you saying? Yes, I heard about your son. Yes, I heard about your sacrifice. But he didn't want it. And what do you think he'll do? Do you think he'll say, don't worry about it? I promise you he won't. His righteous anger is kindled against sinners who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. You can come today and be saved from the wrath of God to come, or you can refuse and reject, and you can stand before God in sin, and you can be cast away. Don't neglect so great a salvation. As we pray together with those at the altar this morning. Heavenly Father, God, we need you this morning, God. We need you, God, because I know for me, God, I can only speak about my own life, God, but this morning, God, I know that my priorities have gotten mixed up. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that my priorities aren't where they should be, God. I'm sorry that I've been distracted, God, the way that I have been, that I've been looking around and finding pleasure in things that can't bring me any real lasting peace and joy. I've fallen into the trap of an enemy. But I'm calling out, God, with your help. If you'll reach your hand down, God, I'll latch on. You pull me back out, God, I'll go back, God, and I'll serve. I want to get it right.